Thank you, Matt. Wow, what a morning. Josh, that was brilliant. Really great. To hear that story summarised so clearly, and then that application for our lives, each one of us, the encouragement to put the Lord first. It's a big challenge, isn't it, for us? There are, as Josh said, putting God first, loving the Lord with all our heart, as it says in the scripture, doesn't mean that we're not going to face difficulties or challenges, or as we've sung, storms. But in that song, My Lighthouse, all through the storm, yeah, He's with us. How wonderful is that? The best friend we could ever know. And I think that is such a wonderful privilege. I wonder if this slight, sorry, oh, headphone, headset, there we go. Sorry, Ian. Wonder if we could just pop a few little slides up. Great to hear about all these characters in the Bible as well. And Matt started off Josiah, age 8. Anna, what did you say? Advancing in years. And then all those others we've sung about, Noah and Moses and Daniel. We came to Jesus, didn't we? And I want to just briefly, for a few moments, have us all focus on a character in the New Testament, but with a particular focus on that last verse of the song that the kids helped us with the actions with, and that focus is Jesus. So let's see if this is working. If not, I'll be calling on the dream team. No, there we go. So here's a big word for you. Preoccupied. Now it's interesting that Josh asked us all, what is it that's important for us? And we all talked about mainly things that we do, perhaps. A bit of gaming, yeah. Hopefully a bit of homework if you're at school. There's lots of things that we do. Now this word, preoccupied, occupied is another word for what takes up our time. And this is the title, it's another way of saying put God, put Christ first. And this is where we're starting here. We can have a friendship with Jesus where he becomes our delight, our focus, our friend, everything in fact. This is a really great animated slide. Sorry, am I pressing the wrong thing here? Did you press that? This. Are we good? It's amazing, isn't it? I'm ramping it up here with headsets, mics, and as they say in America, brace yourself, slide advancers. I like that. It's not a clicker, it's a slide advancer. But it's not advancing just now. Can I have some clicks from the back? Is that all right? We'll just quickly go through these. Okay, don't worry, it'll come. So here's the thing. We are actually, whether we realize it or not, we are called to an everlasting, there's another big word, that means an awfully long time, to an everlasting preoccupation with the Lord. A focus on the Lord. Something can start in our lives in a little way now. It could be that some people in this room this morning might take a first step that is the first step of something that will never end. Isn't that a wonderful prospect? Should be all right now. There we go. Look at that. Preoccupied with Christ. Who knows the old hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Now it's interesting, kids especially. You know that Lighthouse song? That was actually written, it said author unknown, but it was written by a band, an Irish band called the Rend Collective. Nice name.
we were there the other week in Manchester listening to this band, and I realised, well, me and Chan realised that we'd aged somewhat since we'd last been there, because I was looking for someone to turn down the volume. But it was great, wasn't it? And they sang My Lighthouse and a whole load of others, and partway through they sang a version of Be Thou My Vision. And it triggered something in my heart, and the place was packed. And you could tell that people loved the Lord. He was first in their lives and they were reaching for him. And there's this line as it comes to the end. Thou, that means you in Old English. Thou and thou only, first. In my little heart. Hi, King of Heaven. My treasure. You are. Now, if you read in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says this unbelievable, powerful thing, amongst so many other things. He just throws this one out. Where your treasure is, come on, there will your heart be also. This is so wonderful. And I guess I'm really nervous. I'm trembling. Partly because every time I have to stand up in front of all you fine people. But partly because I don't quite know how to handle the treasure. We're dealing with the treasure. That in fact, whether people realize it or not, everyone is after. We're lost without the discovery of the treasure. And here the hymn writer and Up to Speed Wren Collective were really giving it large the other night with some serious volume, but the place was reverberating with people, and I trust it was from their hearts. You, and you only, first in my heart. First. Oh, High King of Heaven, the ultimate authority, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, can come into our little hearts and take first place. And another thing that's been reminded in my own heart and mind of late is the writings of a lady. So I've gone, you went from Josiah to Anna. I've gone from Wren Collective to Lilias Trotter. This is some spectrum. And she writes a lovely little book, many in fact, but one is called The Parables of the Christ Life. And it builds and builds and builds. And this is the great crescendo at the end. And talk about a launch pad. And she says this. Christ, Christ, Christ. Filling all the horizon. Everything in us. Everything to us. Everything through us. And then she quotes Paul. To live is Christ. Isn't that amazing? And she expands a little on this. She says, we saw how, this is through the book, we saw how the soul's first step, it's important to take that first step. Game changing. Transforming. Altering the course and direction and destiny of lives. Oh, praise God. This is wonderful. We saw how the soul's first step is to let him in as its life. The last step, in a sense, can go no further. It's only, and listen carefully to this, I thought, what an insight. It's only that the apprehension, that means the understanding of him, of Christ, has increased. And the hindrances and limitings have been swept away. Christ, Christ, Christ. And there she ends. Isn't that wonderful? So when you take your first step, when we take a step, he gives his all. He doesn't go, okay, one step in return, I'll give you one little morsel. He gives his all, but I don't think we realize the extent of his giving. And then our life is a wonderful exploration, a discovery of that. How wonderful. And Daniel discovered that. Noah discovered that. Abraham discovered that. David discovered that. All of the well-known and lesser-known people who followed the Lord, they discover the wonder of it. So I've asked my lovely daughters to help me out here. Thanks ever so much. You can get me after. We're going to have a reading from the Word, and this is going to be our focus for the next few minutes. So Eve's going to do 7 verses and you're going to do 7. Is that okay? So the passage is Philippians 3, and it's from verse 1 through to 14. Now everyone, especially the kids, I know sometimes if you hear a big reading, you might just kind of slightly drift off, and that's totally to be understood. However, here's what I want you to do. Listen really carefully, and I want you to count, okay? And you can do it on your fingers if that would help. I want you to count, when the girls read, how many times in this short passage the word, the name, Christ, is specifically mentioned. I don't mean, it sometimes says him, and it's obviously talking about him, but I want you to count, whenever you hear Christ, count it up, okay? And then let me know when they finish. So come on, Evie, you read the first 7. And Ella, do you want to come? And you go afterwards. That's brilliant.
Thank you, Evie.
Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I am also. Circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning a law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, but I have counted loss for Christ.
Thanks, Evie.
Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being confirmed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ.
Brilliant. Thank you, girls. Go on, John. How many?
7.
Anyone else get 7? Yeah, so specifically mentioned 7 times in those 14 verses. Now that's quite a focus, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? 14 verses, 7 times. Whoever's got the chocolates, remember that after. And 7 actually is the number. I don't want to read too much into this, but often people say 7 is the perfect number, yeah? So 7 times in 14 verses. Paul, the writer here, who we heard about from Mark the other week, who used to be Saul, Paul is absolutely focused. And his focus, like Lilius Trotter, had become Christ. If you read that passage again, Afterwards, you can see that not just the 7 explicit references, the direct mentions. Well done, you 3, by the way. I saw you all counting. Perfect. Not just the direct references, but there's so much where it says him, his. And if you add those all up, it kind of goes off the charts. It's all about Jesus in this passage for Paul. So I just want us to... It stopped again. So please, this is a life lesson. Don't be focused on how smoothly this is going. The point is the Lord. Yeah? And often we can get distracted easily. Are we okay to just flick it on to the next? Yeah, it's not happening. Oh, there we go. Was that you? Yeah, you're doing it. Could you just pop up the image there as well? So the first thing I want us to see, and what all the way through, 3 simple points. I want you to see that for us to be able to put him first, it's him. This isn't about you making a tremendous effort and getting it all right and getting your priorities all sorted out, although that comes. But first and foremost and forever, it's Jesus. So when we look at these points, I want you to think not first about your response, but first about his life, his love for you. We love him. Why? Did you hear that? We love him, John says, because he first. So when you look at this focused purpose, don't think about yourself just now. Think about Christ. Lilius Trotter had us on this. Christ, Christ, Christ. He had focused purpose. You know what? To do God's will. He put his Father's will first and foremost. And you know another aspect of his purpose? This is staggering, my friends. His focus purpose was on coming for you. For you, yes. For you. Please don't feel you've been left out. I was just illustrating. But how wonderful. For you. For you. For you. For you. For you. If it had only been you. He was coming, my friends, with absolute laser sharp, heart beating, compelling, redemptive love. He came for you. And you think about a target, you think, don't you, about crosshairs? I'm not encouraging anyone to get into shooting air rifles, by the way. This is just an aside. But if you ever do that, you'll know that to get the aim right, you need to look through the crosshairs. And you get the crosshairs on the target. Fire. What an archer. What a marksman. And he was, so to speak, firing the darts of his love, his focus purpose. And you, my friend, I'm just going to go for Matt, is that okay? You're his target, you're his focus. Has he got you? Has he got you? Did he hit home? Oh, glory to his name. We read... In other parts, the Bible's a wonderful treasure hunt, by the way. I encourage you. And use the aids that are available, but it's like a treasure hunt. A great journey, adventure of discovery, finding treasure along the way. Boom, it pops out. Oh, what a nugget of gold. And we read this. You are called according to his purpose. Joshua, Matthew, Joshua, Finn, Chris, Noah, Daniel, put your name there. When you hear his call, he's calling according to his focused purpose. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, bless the Lord. Now, just on point one, and we're coming to point two and three really quick. Point one, in light of his focused purpose, how do you feel? Just reflect. He's come for you. I remember again, I don't know why I keep remembering quotes from Dad. He would quote widely, but he often quoted the poem, The Hound of Heaven. We were told by Paul in that context to beware the dogs. Get that. Just so you're all clear, Coco is our dog and we love her. When Ella said Coco, oh, she's got my heart, I'll tell you that. The Hound of Heaven, it's an amazing metaphor of a pursuit. He's come for you. Now, as that sinks in this morning, I'm not talking history here, although praise the Lord for it. But what's your response today? This is the day that the Lord has made. What's your response to the Lord in light of the nature of the way in which he has come and sought you out? I'm not asking you to tell me. I'm asking you to just quietly in your heart respond to the Lord. Him first. And in response, our yes. It may be right at this point that we're doing a little bit of an adjustment. Sometimes in our lives, we need to say, oh Lord, I've taken my eyes off the prize. You've never dropped your gaze. But Lord, I've been distracted. Does that happen? Let's be honest. He's so wonderful. He comes to us again and again. Sorry, Linda, I'm just coming in. Is that all right? And if our head is hanging down, you might suddenly become aware of the most gentle touch just under there as he lifts your head and enables you again to see him. Oh, Jesus. He's done that to me in recent days. Just arm around there. The neck. Son, I love you. I've got you. Keep your eyes on the prize. I know it's a storm raging. Stay close. Oh, focus, purpose. Fervent passion. Christ first. Don't think about your response just now. I'm coming for that in a moment. I'm going for it. Three times I'm coming for you. But first, Christ. Fervent passion. In that passage we read, he said, what things were gained to me, I have counted. Do you remember reading that? I've counted loss for Christ. This is Paul. It's being outworked, this life of Christ in him, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. Remarkable. This is Paul's response. But first, for him to be able to respond, Jesus came for Paul with fervent passion. The story is he met him on that road. Do you remember the story? And Saul, as he was known then, we heard it from Mark recently. Saul, as he was known then, was breathing murder. He had a purpose and a focus and a passion that was off the mark significantly. And Jesus came for Paul. He came for him with fervent passion. That's a wonderful word, isn't there? Fervent. What do you think of that? It's a bit old. Does anyone use fervent these days? Not so much. Listen to this. In the Bible, if you look up the meaning of the word fervent or fervently, it actually means in an outstretched manner. In an outstretched manner. So when we're encouraged as the people of God in response to Jesus, who always is first, we're encouraged, aren't we, to love one another with pure hearts. Fervently is the word. I do like it. It's nice in my mouth. Fervently. Let's all just say fervently. Yeah, go on. But think deeper than whether you think that's old or new or whatever. That behind that is loving in an outstretched manner. Now, I don't need to tell you. Oh, wide, embracing love. If we could just but see, we're in that embrace. All our identity is to be found in this great truth. Praise Him. When we're feeling anxious, we run again to Him who speaks His fervent love into our hearts. Amen. We could talk more about the cross. We've heard it. We've sung it. Oh, praise God. What do you think? Now I'm coming to you. So if Jesus has loved you in His coming for you with that focus purpose, the manner in which He's done that is with fervent passion. In light of that, what's your response to Him? Moment of quiet. You respond to Jesus. He's here. Like, with consuming passion. It's no wonder that sometimes we refer to the cross as the passion of the Christ. Can you hear His beating heart? And finally, fearless pursuit. Hold your horses, not you yet. Christ. Christ. He didn't just come for you as a kind of one-off, random moment in the story of your life and the grander story of history. He is absolutely committed and fearless and unwavering in His faithfulness. And He is constantly pursuing the highest fulfillment of all His heart and purpose and passion in your life, and not just for you, but for your friends, for your neighbours, for this whole world. Isn't He amazing? There's no one like Him. No one like Him. And we read in that passage again this aspect of fearless pursuit. Paul's response to Christ's first coming for him. First having passion for Him. First pursuing Him and continuing to pursue Paul all his days. We get an inside track here into Paul's response to this incomparable love. And Paul just says in response, it's only response, to know Him. It's not just a one-off thing. It's not just a response one day. It opens up a whole life of discovery, of depth, of friendship. Wonderful, isn't it? We read this one more quote. Well done, young ones. You're absolutely cracking. I know I can go on a bit, can't I? Be honest. You can talk to me afterwards. Tell you what, Josh, any day of the week, he's totally focused. Oh, praise. I hope you sense, though, there's something in my heart. I feel so often I struggle to communicate it. But He's here. He's here. Listen to this. And it's a bit like Lilius Trotter at the beginning. This is another writer. The moment the Spirit has quickened, that means sort of catalyzed life in us. In regeneration, that is new life, new birth. Our whole being senses that we belong to God. And we leap up. I love that. In joyous recognition. I'm yours. It's wonderful, isn't it? In a small way, I don't want to labour this point, but girls, our Coco knows whose family she sits in, doesn't she? And whenever we come in, she leaps up with joyous recognition and does a weird donut thing, doesn't she? And just curls in and her tail's going and she's... That's our dog. I can't speak about our fish, Donna. That's personal. You can then expand it a little to family. And family goes bigger. I love coming here. Joe, it's so good. When I saw you in the car park, something jumped inside of me. Joyous recognition. What Jesus does is truly the most beautiful thing. Family. Joyous recognition. But it goes on. This the quote says, this is just a beginning. Not an end. For now begins the glorious pursuit. Oh, I love this. The heart's happy exploration of the infinite riches of the Lord. It's where we begin, I say, but where we stop, no man has yet discovered. For there is such mysterious depths and wonders to God, neither limit nor end. Shoreless ocean, who can sound you? Your own eternity is round you. Majesty, divine, King, high King of heaven. To have found the Lord, to have been found by the Lord, and still to realize you're being pursued by him, and in response pursuing him, is the soul's paradox of love. Scorned indeed by the too easily satisfied, but justified in happy experience by the children of the burning heart. Praise him. Praise him. Do you want your heart to be on fire with love for the friend that trumps every other friend? Who wants that flame to be kindled afresh today? I do. Jesus first. Let's respond to him. If you want this, I'm just going to go for it. No pressure. If you want this and you think just standing would be appropriate to the King of Kings who's here. What's this one stand for? Anyone remember? Purpose. Focused purpose. So the King who came for you with focused purpose. What does this one stand for? Fervent passion. Focused purpose. Fervent passion. This is the Shepherd King who came to lay down his life for you and for me. And finally, what does this one stand for? Come on, bring it in. Go on, give us a little one. There we go. Fearless pursuit. Boom, boom, boom. As Lilius Trotter said right at the start, Christ, Christ, Christ. He perfectly demonstrates these three aspects. And now as we respond to him, and if you want to, we can just stand if you want to. I want to. It's all right for me. I'm already standing, so it's quite seamless. Just so you can see what's happening. I'm with you. If you want to say yes to Jesus today, if you can. If you can't, that's fine. But you can say it in your heart. Let's stand. Yes to Jesus. And as we respond even now, let's expect an increase of these Christ characteristics even in our lives. Focused purpose, fervent passion, fearless pursuit for his glory. Forever, his glory. And for the abundant blessing of others in the schools, in the colleges, in the streets, in the communities. In this world. Oh, praise his wonderful name. And he, as we stand, listen, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in all these things he might have, and here's another big word, the preeminence. Now tell that to your friends at school, preeminence, that's a good one. Literally, it means he is to be first or to hold first place. Now he does, and he always and forever will. The question for us this morning in response is he first in our lives? Oh Jesus, we're coming to you again. See our beating hearts. See these simple clay vessels. And our prayer this morning, Lord, we might have different versions of it, but Lord, 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 fill with your treasure. So that you, O High King of Heaven, are first in our hearts, today and by your grace forever. We bless your name. We worship you. We thank you for today. Amen.